What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Tuesday, June 26, 2018, and we've got so much to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions here. Quick little reminder that tomorrow in our third hour, Don Wiskin from Extendivite is going to be our guest. And on Thursday, we're going to have Kenneth Amaduri talking about AI and its implications and just where we are going with all of that. And another little reminder that Friday's show will be a replay because Claire and I need a little bit of a rest. So anyway, let's get right on into it. I'm going to take things a little bit out of my usual order because there's so much breaking news here. Obviously, it's all over the place. The Supreme Court upheld Trump's travel ban. Was a close vote, 5-4 decision, and basically affirmed the president's powers over matters of national security. There's already protesters outside the Supreme Court. They're screaming and crying that this is racist and, you know, it's anti-Muslim, which is absolutely inaccurate, because if you are in one of these countries, which are havens of terror, and you try to come to the United States, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Zarathustrian, Scientology, you're not going to have an easy time getting into the country. It's not based on religion. It's based on national security, and the Supreme Court was correct to uphold that. Now, I want to spend a little time talking about Maxine Waters after that disgraceful display over the weekend. It is a symptom of what appears to be this growing tendency toward hysteria and even violence on the left here. Now, Trump has tweeted out to Maxine Waters, be careful what you wish for, which I don't know exactly what he means, if he's implying that Maxine Waters and the Democrats will be harassed back. But again, resorted to a personal insult by describing her as having an extraordinarily low IQ. And it may be true, but I think that's demeaning to the office of the presidency when he stoops to that kind of stuff. And I think a little more dignity is required here. But I understand why Trump is upset. Some of his people in the White House have already, you know, felt this growing hostility in the streets of America. Now, obviously, Maxine Waters has drawn a huge amount of condemnation and criticism for this. Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona has introduced a measure calling on the congresswoman to apologize to the White House for endangering their lives, sowing seeds of discord, resign from her position, and release a public statement saying harassment or violence isn't a form of protest. And he's absolutely correct about that. Violence is not covered by that First Amendment. It says freedom of speech, not freedom of baseball bats. Now, Judicial Watch has filed an ethics complaint with the House against Maxine Waters for inciting this violence. And Maxine, I guess, realizes she stepped over the line because she was on MSNBC and broke into tears about, why are they turning on me? Focus on the children. Focus on the children. Focus. Classic political stuff. By the way, did you know that Maxine Waters, she does own a small house in her district? She's hardly ever there. She's got a much larger, much nicer house in a better part of town. Little bit of hypocrisy on that one. Sheriff Clark is out there saying that victims of these Democratic mobs should take these threats seriously and be prepared to address and neutralize the threat. So maybe it's time to, you know, get your pepper spray or whatever. Because apparently these Democrats, they're getting serious about this stuff. Now, at a website owned by Univision Communications, there was an article titled, "This is Just the Beginning," written by Hamilton Nolan, that actually says Trump protesters should carry out domestic terror attacks, or rather protesters against Trump should carry out domestic terror attacks. And apparently a senior official at the Department of Homeland Security found a burned and decapitated animal carcass on the front porch of his D.C. area home. So the agency has sent a letter to all 250,000 employees saying there may be a heightened threat against DHS employees. Yes, it certainly does seem like it. All right, let's take a phone call here from James in South Carolina. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, I want to make a proposal to you. You're the only host that I know of, and I listen to a lot of them, that's technically competent to do this. And my idea is, I've had this a long time, with electronic billboards that you see, they're yes. more and more, and a lot of the stuff on the media needs to be rebutted. And this is just one proposal. I mean, suppose, I mean, everybody's talking about CNN line and all like this. Well, if you had a billboard directly across from CNN in Atlanta or wherever it is, and you call these people out visually, you know, in public, everybody can see a billboard. You don't have to get click on it to see it. Now,
yep.
What I'm going to suggest is, and I don't have a lot of money, but that the people listening to you could give money to do something like this. And I would give you some money. You know, I could give you $100 to start it off.
Well, it would be very, very costly to do, and I would have to look at the idea. I kind of like it. I remember when Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth got their billboard up in Times Square. But that took a massive, massive effort to get that done. And I can imagine that the space around CNN is very pricey. We don't even know if it's zoned for billboard advertising. We'd have to go down with Google Street View and take a look around and see if there are other billboards. Those units are very, very expensive. So it's a good idea, and I like it. And if we could find some kind of a conservative angel who wants to write the check for it, I don't want to start a crowdfunding operation for something that might fail to reach its goal, because that wouldn't be fair to the people who donated. But I do like the idea.
Okay, I can understand that. But this is something, I mean, just like they used to have, wallpapers in China years ago, you know, huge, where millions of people would just come to walls and look at what was written on them. Well, there's nothing
yes.
quite like that. And it wouldn't have to be, you could put whatever news on it you want to. And lots of people don't pay any attention to the Internet, and they don't know anything about it. You could jog their brains a little bit if they were riding down the highway somewhere and they could see it. You wouldn't have to put it at CNN to start with. You could put it in
cheaper
place.
Need to convince me. It's a good idea. I just think there are some practical considerations.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go. Now, cartoonist Ben Garrison. First of all, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network. Ben Garrison, who is this well-known political cartoonist and commentator, is out there saying that this Trump derangement syndrome has reached epidemic proportions. And we're just seeing the carriers of TDS just shrieking out their hatred of President Trump and conservatives in general. And, you know, they've made it this issue over the children being separated at the border. They've tried to claim this is Trump's idea. It wasn't. It goes all the way back to the Clinton administration. Clinton Obama had the same exact policy. But it's, we're seeing all of these people just come on out and just behave irrationally, like Rob Reiner, who's comparing Trump to Hitler. And they're out there saying, you know, this is all racist policy. No, it's about illegal immigration. Because both here in the United States and in Europe, the burdens of illegal immigration and migration are obvious to everybody. It's financial, social, political. And then we've got the implication of illegal immigrants voting in elections to sway marginally Republican districts toward becoming Democratic districts, allowing the Democrats to seize control of Congress. Now, all of this, of course, is illegal. illegal immigrants are not allowed to vote in our elections, but we have Democratic leaders out there saying they're dependent on that immigrant vote. This is what they're running on for November. They're hoping to have all the immigrants in the United States vote Democratic. What they're doing, though, is they're turning off mainstream Americans who realize none of this is above board. So now we've got Maxine Waters, who's out there saying that anybody who doesn't support the liberal democratic platform is to be harassed, shunned. Anybody who supported the Trump candidacy over Hillary Clinton. This confrontational behavior, it's a dead giveaway. The Democrats don't really have a message anymore. They've been playing victimhood so long. They've forgotten how to actually go on out and find what the American people really want. They don't have anything that's gaining any traction. And the polls are showing that this immigration thing is actually backfiring. Their numbers are going down. And the timing of this, of course, is very suspect because of the fanning it up just as the Inspector General report came on out. So it's a distraction. We are being conditized yet again. And we have all this political infighting and now calls to violence. Are we really headed to a civil war in the streets of this country? Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal, legal citizens against illegal citizens. What Maxine Waters did is absolutely unforgivable. Now, I don't expect the House of Representatives is going to carry forward on the resolution to have her resign. But we do need to keep this in the forefront of the voters' eyes next time she comes up for election. This is completely unacceptable behavior for a member of Congress. All right, so let's get into the war zones. There's plenty going on there. The Syrian Arab Army, the Tiger Forces, and their allies have established full control over the district of Lajat in the province of Daraa. And according to pro-government sources, militants in the area have pretty much mostly surrendered to the government troops. Now, additionally, the Syrian Arab Army and its allies liberated the village of Mlaha al-Atsh, and capture the center of Bursar al-Harir. And if all these reports are confirmed, basically government forces have liberated about 400 square kilometers since the start of clashes in northeastern Daraa last week. That is amazing progress in a military confrontation. Now, back on June 25th, the Russian Defense Ministry released a statement saying that Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, formerly al-Nusra, had carried out a large attack on government positions in the province, and the attack was repelled. 70 militants were killed. Now, the attack was likely to attempt to sabotage the Syrian Arab Army progress in Lajat. Now, throwing more kerosene onto the fire on the 26th, Israel reportedly carried out a new missile strike on Syria targeting the Damascus International Airport. So Israel is still in there throwing punches left and right. 50,000 civilians flee homes as the Syrian government attack on rebel-held area intensifies. And we're talking about in the southwestern region. And the U.S. so far is not intervening, at least overtly here. Journalists in the area say that at least 27 civilians were killed. And the U.N. is saying that this figure of refugees could easily double. Now, there's an interesting little article that came out of the American Conservative asking, are al-Qaeda affiliates fighting right alongside U.S. rebels in Syria's south? And basically, they're talking about how the Russian brokered reconciliation talks fell apart when the Western-backed militants rejected a negotiated peace. So is there, in fact, going to be a new flare-up of that conflict. But the reason this is important to ask whether al-Qaeda is fighting alongside the U.S.-backed rebels is because, remember, in between claiming that Assad is gassing his own people, the U.S. is selling this war to you on the claim that we're really in part of the war on terror, that we're fighting ISIS, and that we're fighting al-Qaeda. Which leads us to this next story coming out of 12160, where apparently local sources are reporting two helicopters of the U.S. coalition landed in Twimmin Village to evacuate two senior ISIS commanders to the U.S. base at Al-Shadada town. Meanwhile, U.S. airstrikes on eastern Syria have so far massacred hundreds more innocent civilians, mostly women and children, on that pretext of fighting ISIS. Now, Bashar al-Assad has just done something very smart. Now that the war is winding down, everybody's talking reconstruction, and American banks are stepping on in and say, we'll loan you all the money you need to rebuild here, and that'll be good for business, be good for our business. And Assad is basically saying, no, he does not want any foreign money for Syria's reconstruction. They still have their oil assets, and it will take them a lot longer to rebuild because the U.S. has basically trashed the place. But they're going to basically do it on their own, because they know that with that foreign money comes foreign obligations. And Assad, I guess, has really been studying American history, because this is something the U.S. used to use all over South America. They would go on in with generous loans, and then they'd engage in industrial sabotage so the loans could not be repaid, and then use the awareness of that debt to basically intervene politically in those countries. It's one of the reasons why so many of those South American countries hate us. They know what's going on. They're not really being fooled by any of it. Now, as you know, over in Turkey, Erdogan won his re-election along with his new constitution that gives him a lot more power. Already his opponents are saying this election was rigged. And we reported yesterday how Turkish police arrested three people that they found in a car with these sacks of forged ballots. So it does look like he stole the election, but there's nobody in Turkey able to stand up to him on that issue. So the question now is, with this new victory and his new constitution, is Turkey about to ramp up its aggression against the Kurds? And I would say that in all probability, the answer is going to be yes. Now, up in Ukraine, as you know, Russia Today has been reporting for quite some time that Ukraine's government is definitely swinging neo-Nazi. And, of course, the Western media said that's ridiculous. Poroshenko and his people, they're our friends. They believe in American values. But the Atlantic Council has finally come on out and said, yeah, there is a problem. Ukraine has a Nazi problem. And they're hemming and hawing about why it took so long for them to acknowledge it. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Atlantic Council is NATO's propaganda wing. And whenever its lobbyists or guest writers publish opinions which digress from the standard Washington foreign policy establishment position, it usually suggests a change in attitude is on the cards. So maybe one way this could be interpreted is that after all this money and all this bloodshed, that the U.S. has decided Poroshenko really can't pull off recapturing the eastern Ukrainian republics, let alone Crimea, and they may decide to de-escalate. Or, alternative theory, they're getting ready to just really throw all kinds of weapons into Ukraine, risking a direct war with Russia itself. Over in the European Union, they are formally moving on the creation of what they call a military intervention force. And this is something that Germany and France have been pushing for quite some time. But it would basically require all the member nations to send troops and supplies to this army, which would be answerable to Brussels. In other words, the EU's equivalent of a standing army with which to threaten the member states. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And yes, once again, the beg is going on out. Republic Broadcasting needs your help. And there's no such thing as too small a donation. I get donations of $1, and I do appreciate it. And they get a thank you letter, even though the stamp is 47 cents. So anyway, if you'd like to support Republic Broadcasting and keep our important work moving forward, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you want to phone in and donate by credit card, or if you want to pledge to be a recurring subscriber, the phone number is 800-724-2719. Extension 1 during normal business hours and extension 3 at all other times. The network thanks you. Moving on here to the international news. Israeli forces are demolishing Palestinian agricultural and commercial buildings in the Hizma neighborhood of Jerusalem. And witnesses told Ma'an news agency that Israeli forces escorted staff from the Israeli Jerusalem municipality raided HISMA surrounding these buildings and basically razed them, scraped them down to prevent the owners from rebuilding. So more demolitions here. Meanwhile, over in Nablus, Israeli settlers burned 300 Palestinian olive trees. Now, olives are one of the few things that Palestine produces, and it's important to their economy. It's also important to their pride. And the problem is that it takes 10 years for a newly planted olive tree to produce usable crop, to actually produce olives that are okay to eat and okay to sell. 10 years. So this is an attack by these Israeli settlers on the livelihood of the Palestinians, just at a time when the United States has frozen Palestinian aid funding. And apparently the U.S. froze the funding as part of the Taylor Force Act, which requires Palestinian officials to end payments to terrorist groups and take steps to stop those groups' behavior. Well, nobody really knows where some of the money is going. One of the issues is that the Palestinian Authority, and for that matter Hamas, do try and support the families of people who are killed by Israel. But Israel simply declares everybody that they kill was a terrorist, lumps their families in with them. And this is all about just ethnic cleansing. The Israelis are trying to just get the Palestinians to leave. They just figure if they whoop on them hard enough, sooner or later they'll give up. But you have to admit, the Palestinians have shown an amazing resilience through the years. Absolutely. Now, over at Great Britain, the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, has basically said the Labour Party is committed to complete recognition of a Palestinian state and to calling for the end of Israel's policy of occupation and settlement, not to mention the blockade on Gaza. And Corbyn was criticizing the Trump administration's negation efforts, known as the Deal of the Century. And he's saying it's time to end the occupation. It's time to end the illegal settlements, the siege of Gaza, and granting the Palestinians their right of return, which was promised by the United Nations and by Israel. Now, that means that if Theresa May gets pulled down in the next election over their immigration issues and Labour takes over, that's going to be a big step forward for the Palestinians. Meanwhile, the Freedom Flotilla is still heading toward Gaza, and there's a nice little video that we linked to on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. They're about at Spain, getting ready to go through the Straits of Gibraltar. Interestingly enough, Mike Pompeo is now saying he's not going to put a timeline on the negotiations with North Korea, but the Trump administration will regularly assess the regime's seriousness about abandoning its nuclear program as the U.S. moves toward normalizing relations with North Korea. Now, this means that the process could actually drag on for a very, very long time. But I think what's missing in the equation is that North Korea has to see the United States take steps to normalize relations. So far, all the good moves have been with South Korea. But the U.S. is still out there. They're not lifting the sanctions. They did call off the naval drills off the coast, but that's about it here. Now, North Korea is talking about relocating their artillery out of the range of Seoul, South Korea. So ever since the ceasefire in the Korean War, North Korea has built a lot of artillery. They have 1,000 artillery pieces on that border that can hit Seoul. Now they're talking about just shipping them someplace else. That's a good first step. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Got the bombs, we'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about North Korea. Now, North Korea is talking tough with Japan, saying that there will be no talks unless Japan backs off its military buildup and all of its drills. Now, this is going to be a problem because Japan's Prime Minister Abe Shinzo has really been pursuing enlarging Japan's military. And he's made remilitarization a major foreign policy priority, which has not escaped the notice of North Korea. Now, this may be a real impasse here. The idea of a newly emergent Japanese military presence in the Eastern Pacific is going to change the dynamics in that whole part of the world. But after what North Korea has been through, I can understand their nervousness. Okay, we're going to go to the phones here. Dave in Missouri, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, you knew it was going to happen, so I thought I might as well be the one. You kind of skated over pretty quickly on the loony left, and I know that's because we're all so sick of it, so I wanted to let you kind of go on with your world news for at least a couple segments before I drug you back to that despicable topic. But, I mean, so this was kind of what I thought about lately that I wanted to share with you. You know, the thing that always brought Republicans and Democrats together has been globalism, was free trade. You know, they disagreed about things on the fringe, but the things they were always rock solid and together on was free trade. That's the gospel come down from the Lord. Globalism, hallelujah. You know, and then they could come together, kumbaya, and they only really fought around the surface. So when Trump rode this nationalist wave in, it really bankrupted them, because they no longer, they never could really sell free trade if they talked about it openly and honestly. They could never really sell globalism honestly. So, all they could do was just try to keep people distracted on the peripheral, and I know what you're saying. I know you know what I mean. While they were stealing from them with both hands through free trade, globalism, and all that. But the nationalist wave took that legs out from under them. So now all they have is the fringe. Now the Republicans, if they're not quick and smart and understand that this nationalism thing is real and get behind it 100%, they're going to go the way the DNC is. But I just do not believe that this lunatic left, as far as they're going, they're not going to provoke a civil war. That's going to take, what, 15 minutes when you beat the hillbillies in Arkansas? Yeah, I mean, that sounds good on these college campuses, you know, to these McDonald's-eating, educated. You know what I'm saying. It's not going to work well for them, and I don't believe it's going to happen. So the Democrats have really killed themselves, and if the Republicans don't get on board with nationalism, I believe they will have killed themselves too. What do you think?
It's a good analysis, and you're certainly right about the Democrats self-destructing right now. The more hysterical they get, the more they call for violence. I think most mainstream Americans are just repulsed by it.
Sure. I mean, they're cutting their own throats off every single day, and, you know, they don't have sense enough to stop. So, you know, they're their own worst enemy. The best thing we can do is just continue to support whatever progress we can get out of this president, and try not to be part of the parade that wants to drag him down, and all the minutia and the outsides and whatever's contrived to distract from the progress that is. And, you know, I mean, progress, moving the capital or moving our embassy to Jerusalem. Come on, despicable. I mean, even the North Korea thing, I'm not really on board with. I can see the longer term of it. So, it's not the way we always traditionally dealt with communism, so to speak. But, hey, you know, we've financed communism through Walmart and China for the last 30 years, so, to our own demise. So, maybe there's a longer picture, and if we have patience, it'll play out. But I think just let the Democrats hang themselves, keep giving them rope, because, man, there's nobody doing a better job of it than they are. I love you. Peace out. Folks, please support RB, and I'm going to listen to your response. Take care, Mike.
Okay, well, my response basically is that you're right. The optics on what's going on, whether it's Maxine Waters or Samantha Bee or Kathy Griffin, the optics are bad. The liberal Democrats are coming across as a group with no real message, no real platform, no interest in a rational debate as to the current conditions in this country. They certainly don't want to talk about the economy. None of the politicians want to talk about the economy. I mean, they'll all say it's great and it's roaring, but they don't want to get into the fine details, which undermine that. The Democrats are looking like a party without a mission, a ship without a captain. We've been hearing from the Democratic leadership. They're starting to focus on Obama as the new figurehead. And we've got Hillary grandstanding all around the world, giving speeches like she's seriously thinking of running again in 2020. It's beginning to really wear out. And you're right, the Republicans got sucked into playing the same kind of rhetorical games as the Democrats. And maybe that's their way of avoiding talking about the real issues, like the deterioration of the infrastructure and the wars. But we're seeing basically this facade of a government. And when you couple that with the obvious cover-ups surrounding the email server and the rest of it, I think Americans are realizing what we see, what is presented to us as the federal government, is just a mask. And what is behind that mask is not only very ugly, but very different than what most people would think. All right, so we're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I got to disagree with partially with Trump on the, you know, the dangerous, you know, Muslim countries, because why is Iran on there? The world's most dangerous state-sponsored terrorism is Saudi Arabia. They're not even on our list. Now, that blows me away.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. But again, Trump's list is not factual. It is political. Iran is on the list to demonize Iran because there's a war being planned for there. Saudi Arabia is not on the list because they're our good buddies, and it doesn't matter if they're exporting terrorism. Israel's not on the list. They export terrorism as well. And right now, the United States is the biggest exporter of terrorism when you consider that ISIS and Al-Qaeda work for the U.S. government, and I note that the United States is not on that list.
Hey, Mike, your last caller, he was talking about, Trump's with the trade and this or that, or I don't understand. Like, with Harley Davidson, Mike, I got to ask you a question. Like, the parts are made in China, but yet they're built here by American. Like, how? I don't understand why Trump came out against Harley. I mean, they can't compete with, like, other companies, right? I mean, like, because the parts are made in China and their workforce is here. There's no way they can. I mean, I don't know what they can do, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what can an American company do to compete? You can't. You got to reduce your workers' wages, right? I mean,
Yeah, the situation with Harley Davidson is another example of a policy that sounds really good in a press conference, but may not work out all that well. I mean, the vast majority of the work that goes into building a motorcycle is the fabrication of those parts. And what they do here in the U.S. is the final assembly, which is a very small part of the job. But Harley can say, you know, built here in America and you know, be more or less telling the truth here. The tariffs are going to make it much more expensive for Harley Davidson to get those parts. And Harley Davidson is now talking about just leaving the United States altogether.
Yeah,
and Trump is threatening them with major taxes if they do.
Yeah, it's like there's no, like, it's like a negative negative for us, Mike, because you know we're going to have to pay more than. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how these tariffs are nothing but it's a VAT tax, right? That's what it is. It's a VAT tax. Is that what they
from
call
the point
it?
Of
you
view,
know,
yeah, from the point of view of the consumer, that's exactly what it is. It's just another tax. The government gets more of our money.
So it's not going to do anything but hurt this country even more.
It's hurting every country that is involved in this little trade war. Trade wars are always hurting the ordinary people and ordinary, you know, small businesses. And then somewhere down the road, there'll be a new trade agreement where, you know, they'll hammer it out. They'll call it free trade. But, of course, if you have to have a treaty, it's not really free. It's regulated.
And also, the last caller said, like, about, like, you know, like you said, the loony left. But, you know, like he said, John McCain is, like, not a lefty, but he's a globalist. The Bushes were globalists. The Clintons are obviously globalists. Who's not anymore? You know what I mean? Like, they're not – they're all on board with that. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, they are.
Like, who and that's not even including the people who don't come out and say anything in the Congress and the Senate. You know, they all are on board with arming the terrorists. Or blaming Russia or Iran. You notice that? That's like, you wonder, like, whose side are these people really on? You know, any of
they're on their own side. They're on their own side. They're there to get rich. They're there to have a lot of fun and throw their power around. But we were talking the other day about how somebody did an assessment, a map of the United States. You know, where do the psychopaths live? And the highest density is inside that beltway. Whether you want to call them psychopaths or sociopaths, it's still a type of human personality that is totally focused on self and totally oblivious to anybody else's feelings. They absolutely lack empathy. And it's not a question of they're not caring. They're literally unable to care what their actions do to people around them.
And then, Mike, real quick, I wanted to mention, I saw a map of where the ISIS and the Al-Qaeda forces, Al-Nusra Front is, that's in the, the south west, right? That's
yes.
where
yes.
the Syrians are fighting. And isn't it amazing how Al-Nusra or ISIS is right next to Israel, but yet they're still there? You know, between, I mean, it shows you Israel flies over ISIS to bomb the Syrian Allied Army, which means
yes.
that proves that they're, and Saudi Arabia are ISIS. They are, and the United States supplies them. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had that story earlier where U.S. helicopters were witnessed evacuating two high-level ISIS commanders out of an area where they're losing the fight and getting them off to this airbase.
Isn't that amazing, though, how these terrorists, which drive over people, kill women and kill children, and Israel flies right over them to bomb the Syrian Arab army who's fighting them? That tells you who these people are. Not
yes.
all everybody in Israel, but the government, you know? But
yep.
just like here, the government. And that's all I need to say. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, good, Mike. Mike, I have a question for you with the Kurds. If the Kurds of Iran, Iraq, and Syria, I believe those are the three countries that the Kurds are living, decide to unite, and Turkey, of course, Turkey itself, do you think they could possibly overthrow the entire Turkish government and take over Turkey as they once did? I understand that Saladin was actually a Kurd. You think they could do it?
I don't think so, because Turkey is very well armed and the Kurds are not. There had been a plan to create an independent Kurdistan as a way of weakening all the neighbor states, but that plan appears to have been dropped, and I think the Kurds are being double crossed.
But they're not the type of people to just lay down. You know, it's not. I don't think they can do to the Kurds what they did to the Armenians. The Turks, again, like I said, Saladin, from what I understand, was actually a Kurd, and I believe at that time the Ottoman Empire was ruled by Kurds. So I just don't see them just taking it. Just keep on taking it. I mean, there's a lot of Kurds in all those countries, and they're very fierce fighters.
I'm sure they're fighting back, but they're not being supplied with the kind of weapons that Turkey and Iraq have.
Well, they're right in Turkey itself, so sometimes they don't need those weapons, or they can get a hold of them from the Turks themselves, you know, raiding armories and stuff like that. And by the way, I want to ask you something about that, too. Did you say, Saladin, one time that he didn't care about Jerusalem, really, that it might be better if it they just destroyed it or something like that?
It's a quote from a movie. It's a quote from a movie. It's called Kingdom of Heaven. It was directed by Ridley Scott. And at the very end of the movie, when Balian is negotiating with Salahuddin, he's saying, you know, if you try and take the city by force, we'll burn it all down. All the things that drive men mad. And the character of Salahuddin in the movie says, I wonder if it would not be better if you did. Which
you
was kind of
true?
The gist of the whole movie. It's just how much human misery and bloodshed has been inspired by these piles of stone sitting on these hills. And it really does drive men mad.
I mean, you got a vice president and a secretary of state right now who seem to think we should bring the end of the world kind of right in that area so Jesus comes back. I mean, you know, it's really, you know, and then you got the Israelis themselves, like Netanyahu, who, I don't know, they think they can do something with that temple or something like that, Temple Mount.
Yep.
You got all kinds of crazy stuff. Did you think Saladin really said that?
No, I don't think he said it. It was made up for the movie, because the whole point of the movie was just kind of showing how there's this endless series of, you know, conflicts over these so-called holy sites. And it really is insane when you look at it.
What's
just not in Saladin's time, but even today. Even today, they're still slaughtering each other over whose imaginary playmate has the biggest dick.
I don't know how to put it down. I mean, you know, but, you got a way of saying that. But anyway, what was the name of this movie? Because I might want to Yeah. Is it an old movie or what?
No, it's it was made about, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, and it's called Kingdom of Heaven.
Who starred in it, you know?
Orlando Bloom, and I forget the name of the guy who played Salahuddin, but he's a very famous Egyptian actor.
Bloom didn't play it, right?
He played Balian. I have the wrong... No, I might have the wrong name here. Remember the guy who played the elf in Lord of the Rings? That guy.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we are getting confirmation that, in point of fact, Al Jazeera has canned the undercover investigation of the U.S.-Israel lobby. And apparently a huge amount of pressure was brought to bear on the government of Qatar. And so we don't get to learn about our government the way the people of Great Britain did, because in Great Britain, they aired it. 4-part special on the Israel lobby in Great Britain, and it woke a lot of people up. But here in the United States, you're supposed to stay asleep, supposed to stay on the blue pill. And basically they're saying Israel lobby groups got to Qatari leaders and some kind of a deal was made. And unless somebody leaks this out, which is always possible, we don't get to see it. So anytime somebody asks, do you really think the Israel lobby has any kind of power? Yeah, they do, including the power to try and remain invisible. Now, we're getting a very interesting story coming out of the White House here. And they're basically saying there hasn't been a high-level firing since last March when John Bolton took over from H.R. McMaster. But there are rumblings now that Secretary of Defense Mattis has fallen out of favor with Donald Trump, and he's being increasingly shut out of major White House decisions, which usually is a sign that somebody is about to be let go. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, here's a little story that came on out. You remember all the way back when the DNC servers got hacked, supposedly by Russia. That was the thing. It was Russia did it. Russia hacking. Russia hacking. Russia hacking. And at the same time, there was apparently negotiations between the United States government and Julian Assange over a possible immunity deal. And the deal was going to be that Assange was willing to basically filter certain releases from WikiLeaks so that people in sensitive positions like foreign assets would not be exposed, which strikes me as the responsible thing to be doing. And apparently he put on the table that as part of the deal, he would provide technical evidence that Russia did not hack the DNC. And apparently at that point, James Comey killed the deal. Because if they'd gone forward and Julian Assange had proven the Russians didn't hack the DNC servers, then the attention would have shifted back to Seth Rich and the high probability that he was a leaker and that that was what he was killed for. And obviously, Comey would want to keep all of that hushed up because he's part of it. So that's who killed the deal on Julian Assange. Hillary is over in Great Britain. She's at Oxford University. She made a speech, and now she's comparing Trump to Erdogan. It used to be Hitler, now it's Erdogan. We'll be right back after station identification.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.